We're ready.
Okay. It is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, November 10th, 2020. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's see if the mayor stands up.
Stand up, Mayor.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
You were standing up, you just couldn't tell it. Sorry, Mayor.
No, you're good. Okay, roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffitt.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano. Absent.
First thing on the agenda tonight is Ordinance 2020-31. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
1 minute.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by, I think, Tad. Is that correct? Yes.
Okay. That one.
All those in favor, show by the equal sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance Number 2020-31 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-31, an ordinance amending the subdivision ordinance with regards to access and connectivity.
So this is the second reading of this ordinance that came up last time regarding the subdivision in and of itself and having the secondary access for subdivisions that are over 40 lots, is that right?
Yeah.
Any concerns since the last meeting? Okay, hearing none. Can I have a motion to approve on second and final read?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present.
Can you see Danny? No, the mayor. Can you see him?
I can see Dan.
Oh, okay.
I can't see Jenny.
That's
I can't
okay.
see Jenny, but I'm assuming since she motioned that she was going to vote yes.
Yeah.
Jenny, we're
okay. Thank you.
okay, next up is Ordinance 2020-28. Before we read that, do we have anybody in the audience?
No.
We have
okay.
a packed house.
So, as a reminder to the count, I'm sorry.
Nothing.
Okay. The delay is really going to mess me up, so I'm sorry, everybody. So, as you will remember, in the past, we've had some discussion about Spencer Street in your Dropbox, and I know you've seen it by now, but it's the letter that I sent to residents on Spencer Street. We didn't get a whole lot of feedback, but we did get a couple of phone calls and emails. Same people. I've given those emails Rosie, and I think both of them are fairly short. So, Rosie, if you wouldn't mind, will you read them into the record?
Sure. This one is from Home Enterprises. The stop sign at Chauncey and Spencer would be a help to traffic flow. However, the parking restrictions on Spencer Street would be a detriment to the residents on Spencer and would only increase traffic speed. Please do not restrict the parking on Spencer Street. The only people this would help are the church parishioners who would fill the street with parking on Sundays. Thank you. Gerald Hogue. And the other one is from Brittany Hatcher. I am Brittany Hatcher, Jay and Carol Crow's daughter. We have lived at the corner for over 30 years. I can tell you that we are so happy to have finally looking at getting a four-way stop. The traffic on Main Street to Line Street and vice versa is like having a drag strip. 80% of them are over the speed limit. We are under the assumption that with a four-way stop, the city is thinking of traffic congestion with parking on Spencer. Most everyone has off-street parking. In light of that, we have a large family, and from time to time, we have gatherings and would need to park on Spencer Street. This scenario would apply to other homes on Spencer Street as well. An example would be my grandmother, that is 84, could not walk a half a block to get to our house. We watch the neighborhood and have seen other homes with elderly visiting. Also, the Catholic Church parks there on Saturdays and Sundays when they are up to full capacity. And lastly, when there are events downtown like Old Settlers, First Fridays, and Farmers Market, when they do a special event, some park on Spencer and walk uptown. So in conclusion, we feel that the parking on Spencer should stay as is with a four-way stop. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Rosie. So the reason I bring that up, or I wanted to chat about that prior to bringing up the next two ordinances, is you'll notice, obviously, the first ordinance, which is 28, that is for the actual four-way stop. And those two are the only two individuals or two, I guess, collective groups, if you will, that have contacted me about Spencer Street. Both are in favor of the four-way stop, but both are opposed to the no parking. Right now, parking is, I think, only on, I think parking is only allowed on the south side of the street, if I remember correctly. But in any case, point of the matter is that both of them do not want to take away that restriction, or they don't want to go to the full no parking. So that, and that's what's in ordinance number 32. So with that, before we move forward with the ordinances, I just wanted to kind of open up for additional discussion to see if anybody has been contacted or any additional discussion on Spencer Street that you want to discuss before we bring those ordinances up.
I have not.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Ben.
I have not been contacted, but after experiencing that intersection, if they don't want to do away with the parking, then is there a way we can write it in where it restricts it closer to that intersection? Because that's where the main problem is people turning off and onto that road right there. And when there's somebody stopped there and there's cars parked, there's not enough room for people to pull in, and it creates a backup on Line Street. So that would be my concern if we continue to allow it, or if we have a way of scooting it back a little farther to allow for a couple cars to be parked there, but it still creates a hazard by having parking that close to the intersection.
Dan, are you referring?
Yeah, good question, and I would maybe defer somewhat to between Scott and Marcia, but I don't think Scott's there. But my point is, maybe it's a way we can restrict a certain footage back from the stop sign or something to that effect to take away that main issue, but still allow some additional parking on Spencer Street or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Dan? Are you referring to the Line Street and Spencer Street? I don't know if he can hear me on a mic.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we would need to. Didn't we move that back a couple years ago? Where they could park?
I believe we enforced it because it was not really painted on there correctly, maybe.
Maybe that's what it was.
Made some adjustments, but again, when those cars pull up to the stop sign and you got a guy coming in from Line Street, there's no way to get them into that onto Spencer Street until they move with cars parked there. So it still creates a congestion.
Could we just get some, I know Scott's not here, maybe table that second motion and get some input from Scott on how, if we move it back two car lengths or three car lengths from that intersection, and maybe both intersections. I mean, so there'd be some parking, but it would just be significantly diminished to make the traffic flow through there better.
I think it's a good discussion. Has the parking committee had an opportunity to meet and talk about it?
We have not talked about it.
Okay. I wonder if the committee should be driving, once we've collected the information that Ryan sent from that letter.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an opportunity to
I'll send Scott. So it's, well, it's Dan, you, me, and Scott, right? Or the committee, Dan?
Yeah. Yep.
So why don't we see if we can set up a time to chat with Scott here in the next week or before our next meeting, and you know.
Yeah, there's no problem with that.
So maybe we just table that second ordinance, and if everybody's okay with that, I mean, I don't mind.
Yeah, I'm supportive of that path. I mean, to me, that is responsive to the citizens in that area. Certainly, I do agree though with Dan and with a little bit what you said. Obviously, Dad, maybe there's a way in which we can restrict back a certain amount more from those stop signs because of the congestion in that area, but still allow some parking something. So I'll leave that to the three of you to kind of undertake that. But let's go ahead then. I'll just keep moving forward then. And can I have a motion to read ordinance 2020-28 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, second by Jenny. For discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. We read ordinance 2020-28 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-28, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So again, this ordinance is specifically for the four-way stop. Sounds like pretty widely supported, at least by the people who contacted us. For those that didn't, everybody along that path got a letter. That being said, any questions, comments, concerns about 2020-28? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, second by Tad for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. The council, as I understand, you are all in agreement to table ordinance 2020-32, correct?
Yeah, can I ask a question on that? Is that just parking, is there a parameter of, like, days that they're allowed to park there, or was it proposed just no parking in general 7 days a week? And okay, that's what I thought. I just for when Dan and I meet, then.
Well, I was going to kind of spin off of that is maybe we, like the high school, we had certain parking times or, again, days.
Yeah.
Maybe there's no parking at all on weekends and certain times on weekdays. I mean,
If it.
But that's something the committee can talk about.
Yeah, we can. Just for my reference, so when we discuss it, we have that option on the table. To have a little bit of flexibility, if need be, I don't know.
And just a side note, this is Marcia. This was just made as a request, so the ordinance committee did not even look at this. I just prepared it. Mayor, I think you sent these two to me, and so these were purely prepared, no discussion held. I just wanted to point that out so the committee would be looking at this fresh.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would encourage the parking committee, if you guys are going to look at some different options, I certainly would encourage you maybe to reach out to, Jay Crow or to Mr. Hogue or whatever, and I think the email addresses are on those emails that Rosie had, so just with some of the ideas that you have just to see how they apply.
Can we send them to you?
Just because, again, residential input, I think it's good, so yeah, appreciate that.
Well, we've actually changed some of the traffic flow with the church blocking off the access on the Chauncey. from their realignment, so it's going to push more traffic down on Spencer Street. So I think that changes the whole design of traffic flow on the weekends.
I agree with you. Okay, next up is ordinance 2020-35. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Kat for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2020-35 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-35, an ordinance amending the City of Columbia City salary ordinance for 2020.
Okay, so this this ordinance comes from me, and one of the things that we have discussed in the past, as you well know, is when COVID first hit, we had the majority of our utility and civil city type employees that they were working basically 30 hours a week with 10 hours of on-call time. So if they had to come in and do testing or they got called in after hours or whatever, that'd come out of that additional 10 hours to get to their port. We did that for, what, really about 2 months, give or take?
Yeah.
And so as we had talked about that originally, one of the things that I think we have discussed, and Council and I, but definitely internally with Rosie, myself, and Beth, is police and fire and dispatch didn't get that luxury, didn't get that benefit, if you will, because we have to have minimum staffing on those. And so as a way to at least kind of give a somewhat of a compensation or somewhat of a thank you to them for working through that COVID pandemic poor time, we have this, which is basically effectively a cash or pay bonus, if you will. This would all come out of COVID CARES Act money, and which we'll talk about the way we're doing CARES Act money here in a moment a little bit differently. It doesn't really impact us as much, but point of the matter is that what we're proposing is police and fire, each police officer, each firefighter that were on active duty, or working, if you will, for the city during that time, would each get effectively a $1,200 hazard pay bonus, if you will, and communication dispatchers would get a $600 per person hazard pay bonus. The reason for the differential, just for your information, obviously, is certainly police and fire were actually out interacting with people, had a lot more hazard to what they were actually doing. But certainly having our dispatchers in working during that time frame, not getting those additional time to be on call. So that's really kind of why we're proposing this. We feel like this is just a small way in which we can thank our public safety employees for their work through COVID. And certainly, I know we're not out of the woods yet, but this really kind of goes back to those 2 months where we were trying to just figure out the landscape of COVID at that time. So I'm certainly open to any questions that you have and discuss the importance of that.
I know we had other people working during that time as well. Is that, I don't see anything to benefit those people. Is there a reason behind that, or just trying to, so I can answer the questions when I get them?
Sure. So I would say that there weren't that many employees that fit into that category. I know that, Rosie, for your gals, I know that you kind of did a shifting of schedule during that time frame. I think really the only people that I know of, unless there was another group of people that I'm not thinking of, really the only people that kind of fit into that category is my assistant, Teresa, and our Human Resources Director, Beth. I had a conversation with my assistant about that during that time period, and it was her choice to remain coming in every day. So that was her choice. Beth obviously needed to be here for COVID purposes. We didn't take her into account.
What about, like, did all the department heads take off? Or just...
The majority of the department heads were on a... the majority of them worked on a schedule, and the department heads that are there can probably talk a little bit about that. But some of them, like, for instance, I know, like, Sean was on one schedule and Matt was on another schedule.
Okay.
Ellie was on one schedule, Corey was on another. So they tried
to
divvy up on that.
Okay.
I worked every day, but I feel like the...
So
those people were out on the front line. I don't have an objection to it.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I split my time between my shift A and shift B, so I interacted with both of them at the same time. Well, not the same time, but I split my time in between the two shifts. The only one I know that might have worked all of it was
Mike
Choda.
He didn't want to be home.
Yeah, that's because he didn't want to. He always doesn't want to be home.
Yeah. That's same with me. That's why I don't have.
And
that.
I think Terry, but he's not up with anybody anyway.
He's isolated. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thanks.
And again, please, I just want to remind everybody: keep in mind this isn't the end all be all. There is no such thing as equal or even. But this is just a small way to really
right.
Thank our frontline public safety officials.
So I don't want to sound insensitive, but I know this is going to come out as insensitive, but I look at it from a standpoint of like running a business, you know. So basically they're going to get the $1,200 bonus for doing what their job, what they were going to be doing anyways. Is that correct? I mean, in the big picture.
That's very fair.
Yeah. So, I mean... $1,200 per person to be doing what they were supposed to be doing anyways and that they got paid for to do anyways. I don't know. I mean, from a budgetary standpoint, I don't know. I mean, how many $1,200 bonuses and $600 bonuses will go out for it?
Sure.
I mean, is there like 10, 6, 20? I mean, I don't know how many there are. I mean, how does it impact the bottom line?
If I was not on COVID quarantine, then I'd be able to give you those numbers to have all of them on.
No, that's all right. I'm just curious. And where it falls within the budget, if there, or does this come out of the CARES Act?
It comes out of the CARES Act.
So, I mean, but still, we're still stewards of the state's money, too, you know, so.
And the utilities.
At that point, go ahead, Bert.
I was just saying, the utilities are a little bit different because we could not afford to have it hit their department and every one of them be off. They can't run.
Yeah.
Nor could we apply the public safety, but
yeah.
Go ahead, Mayor, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that, one of the things that we've been seeing, I've seen this is becoming pretty standard. I'm not saying that means we shouldn't do it, but I will say that this has become a pretty standard thing across the board for lots of other municipalities that I've seen that have been in this situation where some of the departments are basically getting free time off, even though they're on call, getting time off, where some of the public safety departments, obviously, they don't have that luxury. But I'm not going to dispute what you said, Tad. I agree with you. I mean, effectively, they are getting paid an extra hazard pay bonus for doing their job. That is true.
Again, I don't want to sound insensitive. I'm just thinking of it.
Sure.
Like my business, we didn't close at all. We all worked, and
I didn't give anybody any bonuses, you know. I gave a couple people raises, but, I mean, not because they do it anyways, but I don't know. I don't know how, again, that's just my thoughts on it. So I'm not opposed to it at all, but
sure.
I guess I would want more information. Like, again, if it's not coming out of our pot, which doesn't sound like this is, but still, I think we should be good stewards of the big pot that we pull, that we fill our pot with, you know, so.
All right. Well,
I think your number, I think the number total, if I remember correctly, and Rosie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the total was somewhere around $40,000 total.
That's a lot.
that's for everybody, that's for all police, fire, and dispatches. But I think that's the number that rings in my head.
And the, just to clarify, when you say fire, you're talking about the city staffing who are city employees on fire.
Yeah, full-time firefighters.
Yeah, okay.
And if, let's say we go farther with this, if it's, and as the CARES Act, is that, are we confident that would get approved, or do we have to, I assume we have to apply for that, or is that pre-approved?
So that's probably a good segue. Might as well talk about it now. About a month ago, the state of Indiana did a 180 in the way in which they're distributing CARES Act funds. So effectively, they came back to cities, towns, and counties and said, hey, we see that the majority of you have not asked for any frauds yet, and we are 2 months away, or 2.5, 3 months away now, at that point, from the end of the year, which is when the eligibility ends. So they said, what we're now asking you or wanting you to do is to do, is to request all the money from public safety payroll. And so you take whatever public safety officials you have or whatever, come up with that number, that $297,000+, and submit that specifically. And then once you get that money, you basically can backfill your public safety and then utilize your public safety payroll money, the $297 that you had, and utilize that to pay for all the other miscellaneous CARES Act projects. So, to make this maybe a little simpler, because it was confusing as heck to me, effectively we're going to show, we're going to take $297,000 out of the police wages or fire wages or whatever road you pick. And we're going to basically take that money, reappropriate it into a CARES Act account under my funds. Then we're going to take all of the CARES Act money, we're going to apply for those firefighters, police officers, whoever, and we're going to ask for those funds to come back in. That will refund effectively the firefighters, the police officers, whatever, in that $297,000. And then all of our projects, the Blue Jeans Council project, the Fire Air Pack, the Sierra Wireless Judicial Sharing, and then obviously the Hazard Pay, things like that, that would all then come out of the new line item in, under my account for CARES Act stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you're just
sort of
robbing
Peter
and PayPal. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And the whole reason and purpose behind it is so that the state can get that money out the door. Because it's taken so long to process all of these things, and there's so many of us that are like, okay, well, is this eligible or is this eligible? That they finally said, you know what, just come in for the full public safety payroll, and then you guys can use that additional money in kind of a roundabout way for whatever you feel is COVID related.
Okay.
It's the strangest thing that I've seen in 9 years in the state government, I'll be honest.
Okay.
But
So if we do that, basically that $40,000 would come out of that pot, right?
That's correct.
For this. Now, but how much would that leave us in that pot for COVID issues? I mean, do we need to have a rainy day fund in case, like, something major happened that we have to spend money on for COVID, if there's, let's say, some astronomical outbreak where we need those funds for that?
Yeah, so there still is, and I don't remember the exact numbers, because again, I don't have the file in front of me, but we'll still have, gosh, I think the difference was going to end up being after we pay for all the projects that we've talked about up to this point, and then I had like one or two other projects that I think we've kind of talked about. But the point of the matter is, I think at the end of all that, it was still looking at like $20,000 or so that we would have set aside for additional issues, if you will, which is over and above the amount we've used for PPE, and over and above the amount we've used for staffing services for like Beth and Marcia's time and things like that for COVID-19. So.
And there's a deadline with this, correct?
Yeah, so with the public safety payroll being our formal request to the state, I believe, and Rosie, correct me if I'm wrong, feel like Beth has been out for a look for last week into this week. She should be back on Thursday, I believe. But the point of the matter is, I think she'll be submitting that $297,000 payroll request, if you will, when she gets back. That, remember?
Yes. And we need to get moving on it. Mainly, they want to get rid of the money, plus to get everything done and cleared out before the end of the year.
Sure.
So that we can, if we need to switch money around, we can before
another fiscal year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we should meet that timeline at the point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, other questions about the hazard pay that I can put an answer for? Okay. So with that, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2020-35 on first reading?
So moved.
Okay, so I heard Dan first, so I'm going to give him the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Was that Walt?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I have a motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign.
All did it.
Okay. I think that's okay. I think it's unanimous of all present. So we'll move that to second reading next time. Thank you for that good discussion. I think it's always good. And with that CARES Act fund, like I said, there's still more coming up on that. But I think because they're able to do swap-a-roo, if you will, with payroll expenses, that will actually allow us to meet some of our timelines for the project that you've already approved, that we're still kind of waiting on because everybody is bunched up right now. So thank you for that.
Hey, can I ask another question on the CARES Act?
Sure.
So I know that there's a deadline for us to file for the $297,000. Is there a deadline for us to use that money? Do we also have to utilize that by the end of the year? Or does that just go into a slush fund that next July, if we have something that we need to use that on? Or is there a finite deadline that we have to utilize all those funds by?
Yeah, it's a good question. So effectively, we will meet the guidance and the timeline with our public safety payroll request. So we will meet all the state guidelines. So with that money kind of swapping accounts more at the local level, the deadlines aren't necessarily there anymore. Now, at the end of the day, sure, certainly the council could say, okay, that's just extra money that we now have because we've used our CARES Act money for public safety payroll, which fit the guidelines, and we're good to go with the federal and state government there. The money that we were going to be using that we've now switched over to this other account, we can use that for, you know, whatever purpose, if you will. Obviously, we've already approved a couple of projects at this point that money would be coming out of that account.
Mm-hmm.
But for the additional money, sure, that you use that for something else that you're just not doing, certainly.
Because that extra $20,000 is going to be sitting there. I just didn't know if we had to utilize that. That's going to be left over after all the projects and the payroll and everything that you said that's left over. I just didn't know if we had to use or that just sits there until we find something to use it on.
It'll have to be encumbered or, because once the urine's done, it's gone.
So it's gone. So we have to find something to use that on.
Which he's, we've already got our project.
You already have, okay.
Yeah. Right, Mayor?
But I would also say, Rosie, yeah, but keep in mind, obviously, one thing the council could do is they could roll that money into rainy day and then spend it out.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted. Okay.
That's true.
Well, I think this is one of the categories where, you know, when you do budgets and you're looking at, you know, how to divvy up the money, you don't want to leave money on the table.
Mm-mm.
And so this is where we're at right now.
Yeah.
With this CARES Act, if we don't meet fact finding and justifiable for what we spend, then somebody else will.
Absolutely. No, I want to, you know, if it's available, we might as well take advantage of it. I just didn't know if we had to spend it all by a certain date or not.
Yeah.
So. All right. Thank you, Mayor.
My pleasure. Thank you for the great discussion about that. I think Rosie and Beth and I sat in a meeting for, 45 minutes trying to just figure out all this stuff and make sure we were kind of all on the same page and that we were going to meet IFA requirements. And I think we're there. So.
Okay.
Next up is Ordinance 2020-33. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jenny. Any discussion? Although, you know what? I just realized I passed over a resolution, didn't I? I'll come back to it then. Okay. Motion, second for the... I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I won't come back to that resolution. I apologize. Okay. All those in favor, show by usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance Number 2020-33 by title only.
An ordinance amending Chapter 55, Pretreatment of Pollutants, of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Mike Cook.
What we've done here is I didn't want to amend our ordinance here. What we've done under the Section A, we changed the verbiage in there and took out, it used to say it had a multiplier in there. And on certain things, a multiplier would actually give the industries an advantage and allow them to actually have a higher limit than what, because of the multiplier. And some of them incorporated that into their permits. And not, it hasn't caused a problem yet, but it could cause a problem allowing them to do that. So we removed that part of it. So when their new permits come due, that will be removed from their permits also. And then it just stated it would be based on a 24-hour composite, and we also added a grab sample. Because some of them don't do 24-hour composites, they do a grab sample. So that's how we changed that part of it. And then we added a phosphorus total limit. For the treatment plan as of January 1, our total is going to be 1. So the same goes for the industries. They're not going to be able to discharge anything over the water. If they do, then they'll be penalized for that. That's basically what this one is.
Okay. Questions about Ordinance 2020-33? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-33 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jenny for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is Ordinance 2020-34. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kenny, second by Tad for the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance 2020-34 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-34, an ordinance amending Chapter 51, Sewage Service of Title 5 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Mike Cook.
We don't know this, we just added phosphorus to the section one and under the definitions of not more than 1 milligram per liter. And then based on the other sections, instead of being in the permit, they were five, and we removed some verbiage and it actually changed it and made it four. And that was in section two. We removed five and made it four. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Marcia. On section three, we have the effective date on the first billing cycle of 2020, which in November or something, which after it's approved, the additional charge for per pound for VOD, PSS, nitrogen, ammonia will be 55 cents a pound instead of 47 cents a pound, which it was or currently is now. It will go to 55. Then after this, the effective date will also have an additional charge per pound for phosphorus, which will be $1 per pound overage. All the industry will be notified of this. They will have 90 days to comply, and there isn't any of them that are in violation currently, but they will have 90 days for to comply with it, which, like I said, there's no issue there, but it's just there. Basically, all this is just to protect us.
Okay. Questions about ordinance 2020-34.
So you say it's for the first full billing cycle after November blank. What if this doesn't get approved till the next one, which is what, the 23rd, something like that?
Yeah. Then
so
it would be the first one in
December.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it says after, you know, so.
Right, so it
we
would
go
be
in
December.
November 24th, and
okay.
Then that would be in December.
And this is billed to the businesses directly, currently. This
yes.
would be a management.
Yes, my pre-treatment coordinator actually bills them directly.
Who does?
Austin.
Oh, okay.
He gets there.
It's not that we do.
Yes. No.
I meant through the billing side.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're throwing me. You are throwing me here on this
yeah,
treatment.
No, that's what he gets all the
I have.
That's why I thought
that
Katie brings
it. We bill them, and then they.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thank you.
And Rosie, if this passes on first reading, we have our second reading. I'll have that date in there for the next.
Okay.
I just didn't know what date to put in.
Okay. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks.
Do we need two readings? Can we?
Excuse me.
I said, do we need two readings for it? I mean.
It only if it's an emergency.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay.
Anything else for ordinance 2020-34? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2020-34 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show a usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay, we're going to back up and go to resolution number 2020-30. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad, I think. Okay. No, by Wallace.
Long.
Excuse me. By
Wallace. Hey, bro.
Further discussion. All those in favor, ship an equal sign. Unanimous of those present, please read resolution number 2020-30 by title only.
Resolution 2020-30, resolution to provide for reimbursement of public health and public safety payroll costs for CARES Act funding for the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So this goes back to our conversation previously about public safety payroll being what we're going to effectively apply the CARES Act funding to in order to give us more time to finish our projects, et cetera. You know, this is a pretty standard resolution. Rosie, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the resolution that both of you are using, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I grabbed it.
Right.
Oh, Marcia, okay.
And then Rosie sent me the same one, and they were identical. So.
Okay, good.
Yes, you are correct.
So effectively, this is the way in which the council approves of using that the dollars for public aid. Questions? And I have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-30.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor fine. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Next up is ordinance 2020-26. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tad, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Please read ordinance number
2020-26
by title only.
Ordinance 2020-26, an ordinance fixing the annual salaries of all elected officials of the City of Columbia City, Indiana, effective December 19, 2020, for the year 2021.
As a reminder, 27 pays next year. And so again, doesn't change the amount you're getting per paycheck or that I'm getting or Chris is getting per paycheck, but just recognizes that there is a 27 payout. But this is our normal salary ordinance for elected officials that we approve every year. Again, no hourly increase for anybody, but obviously the 27 payout. Question?
I obviously think it ought to be the same as what everybody else is getting, so keep it like it is.
Done that. Good. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2020-26 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Again. Okay. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay, I think we've burned through all those. Next up is department head reports. Mike Good.
During the meeting here, I've been sending a lot of text back and forth with Joe about that. They're still working on that sewer tap, the main hole, and might have a couple of issues there, but I'm not sure. Still trying to work through that yet tonight. After I'm finished here, I'll be going down there. The Rudy for the Veterans Marathon will be opened up. The burners come through on West Ellsworth. They're supposed to have that cleaned, swept, and everything like that. That'll be the first thing I check on Thursday morning when we come back in. Control panel, I have the submittal in my office that I was reviewing today to the original as-built drawings to make sure that what they were is what we had. Remember, that's the contractor did that. The electrical fell in, set their control panel on fire, and so they had to replace all this. On West Ellsworth, the site down there, OSHA was in and shut down half of that job because of inadequate shoring by the contractor. And when I say the contractor, I don't mean the general either, so already throws me, or sorry. Crosby excavating. It was not shored up properly, so that part of the job shut down. Nobody could go in and work on that, which is the tank side. They continued to work on the lift station side and got the valve hole and the wet well lid port for that. So maybe we can see when OSHA actually allows them back in on that side. I don't know if they were in the day to look at it or not. Look Street. Site. Sheeting should be just about done. If it's not done, I didn't make it there today to see. 60-inch sewer line, which starts at Main Street, runs behind the bus garage, ready mix, is now crossing Whitley Street. They hope to be across Whitley by the end of the week, and hopefully have that open back up and possibly or maybe even paved by this weekend too, which would be nice. That's a main bowl there, sewer tap. As they went down East Ellsworth, they pulled their box through the trench, and apparently they missed that sewer tap, so there was a backup into the basement of the main bowl. And so they were there, companies been doing the cleanup today, and Crosby Excavating is there this evening putting a new tap in. Like I said, there was a few issues there that I need to work through, but they're working on that this evening. Big launch at 700. I approved the drawings for that. We're just waiting to hear back from the contractor on pricing. So hopefully we'll get that project moving Wednesday the 16th. We'll test all their equipment. It's currently, the tank is filled with water. And we'll be doing tests for leaks. And my staff and everything will go through operations on how to operate it. About he was in today doing some of the programming for the SCADA. So, kind of changed. We weren't going to have any control, but I think we're going to actually do a flow pace on it through our SCADA system. So the SCADA will monitor the flow, and if the flow picks up, it'll adjust the amount of phosphorus removal and back and forth like that. They have systems that work like that, but we're doing ours a little bit different. After I sat down talking with them this morning, I kind of like the idea, but we'll still have the option of manually doing how we was originally going to do it. So, and then last Thursday we had a chemical salesman in, and then he brought a chemical engineer in from their company, and they done DIRS testing on our effluent. And some of our effluent out of our aeration tanks and determined the best place for injection to remove the phosphorus, which is after aeration. And then they gave us an estimated of 40 gallons a day is the amount that to start off with. And obviously that will go up and down and vary, but they give us a place to start, so we have a good idea on that. Our tank is 6,500 gallons, so we'll have several days, months of use it. We're right at 40 gallons, so that's pretty much all I have. Unless you have any questions?
Touch the mic. Thank you, Chip.
We are moving forward on trying to get a trail to the high school. The deadline for that grant application is December 11th, so we're moving very quickly. Trying to also wrap up some details on getting Westgate moved forward by the first of the year. So anything else, shoot me an email if you got questions.
That looks like it's going to happen.
Westgate or the trail?
The trail for the to the high school.
It
I'm asking because someone asked me about it on Saturday.
It has to, one way or another. So
if you got to pour it yourself, right, Chip?
Yeah, I will be out doing that water kind of thing.
I got the shovel at home. I'll help you.
That's all right. You just stay. I'll do it. It's fine. But, yeah, we are going to. So we're moving forward with that very quickly.
Okay.
Questions
of
Chip?
No.
Thank you, any other department heads there?
No.
Okay. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Walter?
Nothing.
Daniel?
Nothing, sir.
Dad?
We had an RDC meeting today, and I guess technically we tabled what we were working on with the old Cardinal Grain, you know, property. To figure out what the next steps were or are going to be regarding, you know, yeah, basically what we're going to do next with that property in terms of the, I think they have to do some testing and some reports before I think we can go to the next step. So we're having someone review that and then we'll, you know, do some more, have some more discussion on that at our next meeting next month. And then also on the Brown Building, as we come to refer to it, at least in the RDC, that's what we refer to it. It's the one that looks like it's getting ready to fall into the street on Van Buren. It's a beautiful building.
Open.
Yeah, so apparently he is having some issues getting the contractors to show up. If I understood it correctly, right, Chip? Is that?
Yeah.
So rumor has it the contractors, yeah, right out here. Are
my whetstones all pledged?
So there he is trying to get that hole in the front of the building fixed, apparently, is what we've been told. So that's as much as we know, but he did pay his back taxes on that property, and so he is within the compliance of the agreement that we have with him, and so that's where we are with that.
Is that bone, you mean?
Yeah.
We didn't want to say that.
He did make his first payment.
I know. Yeah. So, but that's where we are with that. Anybody asks, it's a in it's in the process of being renovated, you know, one brick at a time. So that's all I have.
Nothing.
You get it.
Nothing.
Okay. Press. Audience. Obviously, as I close the email, my schedule is to be determined at this point, but you have a Veterans Marathon coming up on Saturday. There's going to be a lot of people that'll be in the community for that. They are doing chip timing, so they're encouraging people to stay spaced out. And obviously, once they cross the mat, that's when the time starts. So that gives them the ability to space out the runners. And I know they're trying; they've done everything they can do to try to keep people to keep people distance. Let's say it that way. Besides that, obviously, still a lot of things happening that things that you already know about. And certainly would encourage you, if you have questions about the department heads and their bi-weekly reports, please contact them directly and ask questions. They really, there's times where they don't think that you guys read them, even though I know you do. if you have questions about things that pop up, or there's things that you say, hey, I want a little more information, I think they would enjoy responding to that. So with that, I think we'll call the council meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.